This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival kicks off this weekend. As always, one of the biggest deals when it comes to New Orleans. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and more and its importance, not just for this weekend, but even beyond this weekend and the role it plays in preserving culture and heritage and what it does for the citizenry of New Orleans. But now, honestly, while I'm starting to talk about this, did y'all send me any tickets to come down there? It's all the time, and I never think about it, but this is one of those kind of things. I do interviews every day, but you want to have a ticket with you to come and do it in person and do it. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a fair request, I would have to say.
I wish I could be there. My man, come on, that's what I'm talking about. I wish I could be there. We're going to hear all about the festival. We've got three very special guests with us today. First of all, Don Marshall, who is the executive director of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival and Foundation. Don, welcome to you. We also have with us Big Chief Dow Edwards of the Timbuktu Warriors, Mardi Gras Indians, and the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund. And last but not least, Kevin Wilkins, CEO and founder of Trepwise, a New Orleans-based strategy consulting firm that aligns people, process, and vision. Welcome to all three of you. How you guys doing?
Great. Doing well, Mark. Thank you.
Great.
Getting ready for a big week, folks.
Thank you very much for having us.
Getting ready for a big week. And folks, just before we even got started, they were talking about how nice the weather is. It's still freezing cold up here for reasons I do not understand in New York. And so I even got the weather, they got the jazz festival, everything's going on. I may need to reroute myself and change my schedule. But what we want to talk about itself, and this is the topic we want to cover, folks. The jazz does not play itself. I like that. We want to delve into that. How New Orleans' approach to sustainable tourism directly supports cultural creative. So I want to break that down. How New Orleans' approach to sustainable tourism directly supports cultural creatives. The jazz does not play itself. Who'd like to start helping us understand this concept and this topic? Who'd like to go first?
I'll take a stab at it.
Big Chief Dow.
Yeah, I think that for far too long, the narrative in New Orleans or coming out of New Orleans is that the city does not support its artists in a meaningful way and that you had to leave New Orleans in order to become successful. And so that several years back, there was a tax put on tourism in order to help the tourism industry. But what we found out was that tax was going to help larger businesses around the tourism industry without actually helping the culture bearers and the producers of the culture here in the city of New Orleans. And so we had some series of talks and discussions about that and how we could attempt to change that. Cantrell sat in on a couple of interviews, and when she became mayor, she actually went to the state and got a dedicated portion of the tourism tax, hotel motel tax, and dedicated this straight to impact the culture barriers of the city and the world. And so over the last 3 to 4 years, the New Orleans Tourism and Culture Fund has been taking receipts of those proceeds from the tax assessment to the tune of about $5 million and directly reinvesting that into the actual culture bearer of the city of New Orleans. And so it really helps the musician. It helps reinforce the makes jazz musicians more sustainable in the world. And so it's the gig economy, but we're trying to put them on better footing to become more educated in their craft and how to market themselves in a meaningful way, get the worth that they should deserve from their craft.
Amen. Amen. So that's a great idea. Whose idea was this? Which one of you came up with this idea?
I'll say I spoke on it at a conference, but I got to say it's been reverberating throughout the community for a long time.
Right.
And knowing that the cultural creatives were not benefiting from any of the money that was coming out. So I think it's really been reverberating for a long time, over hundreds of years, 50 years at least, ever since Louis Armstrong said, you know what it means to miss New Orleans. He had to leave New Orleans to make himself a world-renowned musician.
Sir.
I think that's spot on. I think that's spot on, actually. I think the people, we get 18 to 20 million visitors a year in New Orleans. People come here for the culture. They come here for the food and they come here for the music. And I think what Big Chief Dow was suggesting is right. All the people that draw the tourism population here are not necessarily the people who are being rewarded financially, economically, with any kind of equitable lens to reflect the benefit that they're providing to the city. So I think the New Orleans Tourism and Culture Fund that Big Chief Dow talks about is really important. Because it does, last year alone, I think they invested around $5 million into the ecosystem. And they're investing into crews, they're investing into artists, they're investing into venues, they're investing into PR for the city. They're investing into groups that are really like perpetuating the culture of the city. So from a large venue to a small crew, the cultural fabric of the city is really robust. And I think this fund has been really important in terms of helping to fund that.
Tell us about Tripwise. What's Tripwise's role in this, Don?
So we are a strategic planning firm that focuses on purpose-driven organizations, meaning we work with large nonprofits, we work with foundations, we work with corporate social responsibility organizations within the for-profit space. We do strategic planning work, we do systems coordination work, and then we do what I'll call solutions orientations. An organization might have a challenge that they come to us with. They're looking for a solution. We've had the honor and the privilege of doing a lot of work in the cultural economy space of the city because it's such a large element of New Orleans. So we've worked with over 30 different arts-based organizations. We had the benefit of working with the Jazz and Heritage Foundation for their strategic plan. We have also worked with the New Orleans Tourism and Culture Fund, actually bringing that fund to life and making sure that its mission is really clear and how they allocate their dollars, looking with the board, is really clear and understood. I feel like we've been in that kind of the center of the cultural economy work, which I'm really proud of.
And so the Jazz and Cultural Heritage Festival, Don, does some of this work and some of these funds, in fact, some of this investment actually benefit the festival itself?
Well, somewhat, but I think it's important to look at the history of the festival. Interestingly enough, back in roughly about 1968, the business leaders, particularly those in tourism, came together and said, we have to create a festival that will attract people to all these new hotels that we have here and all of our tourism economy. And wisely, they brought in George Wing, who was a jazz musician, created Newport Jazz, Newport Folk, and was the expert internationally on how to put together a festival. He came down, saw the richness of our culture, whether it's a food culture, whether it's our masking Indians, our second line parades, the musicians, the folk art, and was overwhelmed by the richness and diversity. And so the first festival that was put together was not only indoor concerts at the auditorium, but an outdoor festival with food vendors in multiple stages, representing, you know, a gospel stage and a Cajun Zydeco stage, representing our rich cultural heritage from Southwest Louisiana. And at the same time, what was unique is that it was founded as a nonprofit organization, which really didn't happen with festivals. And the great thing about that was that eventually, took many years to turn revenue a profit, we were able to, as a foundation, start distributing the money back in the community. We started a grant program in, I think it was roughly about 1980. That was one of the first programs that the foundation started to give back to the community. And we've given, I think, over $10 million over the years back into the community, mainly funding the musicians, the culture bearers, the different organizations. We seem to fund everybody. Every festival gets funds from us, every concert series. We even have funding now that we give to the musicians clinic that provides medical services to our musicians and cultural heritage bearers. And we also do something with the Norman Dixon Fund, which provides funds to the Black Mexican Indians to purchase feathers and beads. And we also pay for police protection at the second line parade. So over the years, because of these visionaries, we were able to start impacting the community in many other ways. We are also the owner of a WWZ radio, which is a wonderful internationally known radio station that broadcasts New Orleans music and culture around the world. We have a Heritage School of Music, which is a free music education program servicing over 240 students with some of the best music teachers that we have in the city. So we keep expanding our programming and adding. After Katrina, we decided that we needed to employ our musicians. And so we created 5 different festivals, free festivals in the community to employ the musicians and to promote them. And our real mission is to support, promote, and preserve the work of the musicians and our culture bearers. So
right.
New Orleans is very lucky to have had that early start with a foundation that eventually, when the festival started to turn a profit and revenues, we were able to give back to the community. And we continually look at ways that we can do more.
We might listen to this is interesting, and most people don't even think about it. But it's almost like it's been culture for granted. In New Orleans' greatest attraction, greatest export. Yeah. And then what's left behind, what's left there on the ground for the New Orleanians. Big Chief Dow, when were you on this panel? How long did it take for this to be said out loud to then come into fruition?
This panel was probably about 8 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
As far as the Culture and Tourism Fund being founded after that, those panels. So that's probably about 8 years ago. And the interesting thing was that there was the desire to even speak at a panel about this, right? To get public with it, to start putting it out that, yeah, the money is going to the hotels and the restaurant associations and those large corporations, but not funneling down. And so being able to speak on it was really important and to really get some traction, because once people started verbalizing it, it started to happen. But the Jazz and Heritage Festival was really doing things in the community long before that.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me put that out there, that they were actually, but that wasn't the city, right? That was city doing it. That was the people doing it, if you will. And it was just a fine time that the city got behind.
Right.
That the city actually took an active hand in stepping forward and going into a space where they could create change and effectuate the citizens of the city and the culture bearers. That was significant.
I agree with that. I think the foundation's work, the Jazz and Heritage Foundation's work, has been like iconic in terms of really trying to be leaders in this community when it comes to the arts in general. When the mayor went into her first term, she had these transition committees that she established, making sure that when she started her term, she wanted to be clear around the priorities. And she actually asked Tripwise to run the cultural economy transition team. And I think just in doing so, she sent a loud message saying the cultural economy of this city is our single biggest asset. How do we ensure that we're maximizing it? And how do we ensure that everyone involved with it is going to benefit? So she set that as her agenda pretty early on. And I think from there, this fund really got a lot of attention.
Yeah, I had the benefit of serving on that committee.
Right,
Transition committee and whatnot. And that was a really important that we looked around to other cities, what they were doing. And
exactly.
We found out that they were doing so much more for the culture barrier than what New Orleans was doing at the time.
Right.
And it helped her to establish an Office of Culture Economy.
That's right.
And then go to the state legislature to get the New Orleans Culture and Tourism Fund situated.
Yep.
That was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Finally have a municipality supporting citizens and the culture that's so rich in New Orleans.
And so, Don, with the city now doing this, you're still doing all the things that the festival always did in terms of, and the other entities supporting musicians, correct?
Correct. We're actually, every day we look for ways we can do more. We're actually increasing our creative partnership grant programs to $2 billion for this coming year and looking for increasing the amount of money we give to each organization and individual artists. We've increased it from $5,000 to $7,500. And one of the, to me, fun part of my job is just looking at all the applications. And one of the areas of emphasis for us is music education.
Right.
In the schools and after school.
Yes.
We have such great music teachers in our schools. We have amazing band programs. And it's so fantastic to see our bands marching in Mardi Gras parades and other events around here and what that does for each of those students. And I think everybody, New Orleans is an amazing, wonderful city. I think sometimes we always to look at and knock other things about it. We have potholes, we have this, we have that. But I don't think there's any city in this country that is enriched with so many artists, musicians, culture bearers, and they have a voice in the community because we're a large community. And we have more musicians per capita than any city in the United States. We have more music clubs and more music venues. And any night in New Orleans, there are about 40 opportunities to go hear live music. It's a struggle often for the musicians because they're not being paid enough for their performances, but the city is supportive. And I think we're constantly, all of us are constantly looking for ways that we can do a better job of supporting the artists. We're trying to develop a housing program, culture bearers. We support, New Orleans is lucky to have a musician's clinic that doesn't exist in, I think, only one other city in the United States. It's a constant.
Well, when you say clinic, what do you mean? What kind of?
It's called the New Orleans Music Clinic, and it basically, musicians and culture bearers can go to the clinic and they do referrals and also financial support for services provided and everything. It's set up through the Louisiana State Hospital System.
But okay. So this is health. This is,
health
too. Healthcare too. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So that's important. And
it started 40 years ago, and it's been growing in its impact and everything. New Orleans appreciates our culture bearers and our musicians and our visual artists and our dancers and our theater artists. And this is not a rich economic city.
Right.
We depend on tourism for a large part of our economy, which is not a great thing economically.
Yep.
But I think we're all in this together.
And you could even look at something like the Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's very popular in the country. And John Batiste, I think, was one of the people who launched the parade this year. And marching bands from New Orleans and dancing crews from New Orleans, highly overrepresented in an event like that, which just shows the richness of what's housed in the city.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
To that point as well, and this is really great news, folks. You mentioned some of the venues and some of the places where artists perform. Big Chief Dow, has there ever been any conversation about artists as entrepreneurs and having ownership in some of these venues, perhaps? Because we know artists need to be paid, but we know those people hosting the artists are getting paid as well. Has that ever been a discussion?
There are discussions along those lines with the Cultural Tourism Fund. And one of those is programming, right? Access to capital, right?
Right.
How do you gain access to capital? How do you write, right? How do you write grants, right? It's easy sometimes to give somebody a grant, right? Where they can, that's personal to them, where they can take and utilize it for self-sustainment purposes. But we think the concept of teaching a man how to fish is a better concept, right? How do they navigate those areas so they become fiscally responsible, be in the position to become a part owner in a nightclub or a venue, be in the position to learn how to be part of put on a festival and how they can do those things. So we're trying to teach them, teach the culture bearers and teach the musicians and give them access points to be able to participate on a larger scale. And that one of the things that we didn't talk about, I want to bring up very quickly, because Don touched on it a little bit with home ownership. One of the biggest fights that we're having right now is with gentrification.
That's right.
And having the musicians, the culture bearer, night and have to the place where they once lived in New Orleans, which pushes them out to the surrounding parishes and those things. The other thing is the defunding of art and humanities in the elementary school. And so when you take that funding out and you take the funding away from it, and then the musicians and culture bearers are leaving the city, where does that leave our culture, right? Where does culture in New Orleans continue to buy? So I think Don talked about putting access to affordable housing out front.
Yes, sir.
New Orleans Culture and Tourism Fund is also active to how to get with teamed up with Chase Bank, how to get mortgages, how to put yourself in a position to be able to become homeowners so you live in the community and thrive in the community. So those are things that we're trying to address. And also the Culture and Tourism Fund is putting money directly into the elementary school, for the arts program to help them flourish? Because we have wonderful places like NOCA, New Orleans Academy of Art, that has wonderful music programs and arts programs, but they're losing the funneling schools that can get them
that's
to those places, right?
That's correct.
So that's places where John Baptiste graduated from. That's where Ellis Winton and Bradford Marcellus graduated from. But if they don't have the access point to get to those institutions, that's harmful. So we try to do everything we can at the grassroots, preserve and give the musicians and culture bearers opportunities to be able to hit those express lanes, the venues like you were talking about, so they can participate in a major way.
No, that's important. And I hope there are things in the works to preserve music education and access to music education. Are you feeling is that on the city level? Is that on the school board level? Who handles, are we also looking, is there also a need to raise private money and nonprofit money to support music education in the school?
I think you're seeing a blend right now. There are nonprofits that are very involved in funding education in the schools. Roots of Music, for example, does a really nice job of providing programming after school programming, of sorts, enrichment programs. But to Big Chief Dow's point, we need it at scale. The minute you start cutting in the charter school system, arts gets cut. That's just going to be the first. And I think there's a cultural mindset around that's not the best, A, for the enrichment of children, and B, for the city of New Orleans. It's just not a good strategy. So you're definitely seeing public, you're definitely seeing nonprofits come together to try to help correct this. And I think it's more top of mind. I know the foundation does a lot of work in that kind of space as well.
Just recently, we pulled together all of the after-school programs, like Roots of Music and the Greater New Orleans Youth Orchestra, Make Music NOLA. There's so many great programs that are doing after-school programming. We decided we need to pull together sort of an association, a collaborative effort. And the one thing that all of the leaders of these different programs said was, we have to start doing more advocacy to get more music and arts education back in the schools and strengthen the programs over there.
That's correct.
Is that we're a charter school system unique in this country, because I think that now only going to be one school that's run by our school board.
And that's right.
It's difficult to do advocacy. We have to go to each of the schools and actually talk to the principals and see what their needs are and what their band program directors need. So it's complex, but there's definitely a real strong belief in this community that we need to improve and increase all of our arts educations.
Correct.
And that has to come from everybody. That has to come from the culture bearer, the business leader, the school system, the city. Everybody has to become an advocate for
that. That's correct.
And once we see that everybody understanding the complexities of that situation and how it affects New Orleans as a whole, then we can get the movement necessary in order to put the funding back into the youth so that they can thrive and have a future in this city, and the future of New Orleans culture, economy can continue to thrive.
Lastly, have you all, or are there any stories you can share about how this initiative has changed the lives and improved the lives and well-being of some of New Orleans' native musicians?
I have a really good story. I think Big Chief Damon Malone, right? He was the big chief of the Young Seminole Miagra Indian Tribe, and he's a master beater, fabulous beater. And he got opportunity to exhibit some of his bead work at Jazz and Heritage Festival in the contemporary arts section. And went out there for two or three years, would sell out and have some really good showing. He later got signed to a world-renowned art gallery, and he was able to sell one of his pieces at auction for about $100,000. And he has now become a homeowner.
Wow.
He's a homeowner in the city of New Orleans.
That's great.
And this is the person who has gone from just simply beaten every day because of the love of the culture to monetizing it to the point where he can no longer take money off of his family table and now put money back on his family table as a result of being supported by the Jazz and Heritage Festival, being supported by the Culture and Tourism Fund, and the city of New Orleans just drawing the support behind the local young culture bearer. That's one. That's just one example.
That's great. That's great. Kevin?
I have a personal story that I like to share. When we moved to New Orleans originally in 2010, we put our son, we have three boys, we put our oldest son into a charter school that focused on the arts. And he said to us, "Why are you doing this to me? I'm not an artist. I'm more of an athlete." And we said, "We hear it's a great school. Why don't you try it out?" That was in eighth grade when he discovered photography and he discovered filmmaking. 4 years later, he goes to college to study TV, radio, and film. Today, he's living in Los Angeles doing film.
That's great.
I think it's just a story of a random kid not really understanding the arts, gets exposed, and life has changed forever.
Yeah.
And I think we're one of many stories like that.
Don, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
So there are thousands of examples. And I think, again, touting New Orleans, our culture goes into the neighborhoods. It's pervasive. The kids want to learn how to play music. You know, just the other day, watching one of our weekly Second Line parades, Central Lady Pleasure Club parading through a neighborhood where people come out and are being entertained and socialize and become a community. And same with the Black Masking Indians. When they come out, you have people who have worked for over a year on their costume, and they become kings of the city. Anybody who is out there, that doesn't happen in any other city in the United States, where you can transform and be part of the culture, part of the community, and be highly respected. And I think New Orleans respects musicians and culture bearers and artists more than any other city in this country. And that's, again, what makes us so unique.
And I think the behaviors that you're seeing reinforces that concept, where we're really seeing people rally around it.
Kevin, is Trepwise helping other cities figure this out?
We are, actually. We just finished the work in Houston for the Houston Cultural Economy Plan. Coming from New Orleans with the richness of what we have here, you can figure it out here, then being able to figure it out and bring that knowledge to other cities is a real gift.
Yeah. They used to say that about New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But you're saying, That's good to know. Don, tell us, so I didn't know about this. There's a radio station that goes all over the world. But tell us that station again, please.
WOZ-FM.
It's awesome.
90.7. It's one of the greatest radio stations in this country. It's really focused on just New Orleans music or some of the cultural influences of different musicians from around the world. We have a large Latino music community here. We have musicians from all around the world that have impacted our music, but it's really amazing how well the station is supported and listened to around the world. We have people all over Europe and Asia and South America who love New Orleans music, and they tune in religiously to this channel. It's very successful.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, this is important, and we don't want to take this culture for granted. We know how rich New Orleans, and I have to tell you, I'm going to say something. A lot of people are surprised when I say it. You all know what I'm about to say. But I said, let me tell you how rich New Orleans is. And Big Chief Dow mentioned the great Louis Armstrong, and people had to leave some of their, Duke Ellington had to leave D.C. That's what was going on. Those weren't the places where you made it. Louis Armstrong had to leave New Orleans, go to Chicago. Louis Armstrong coming out of New Orleans, folks, changed, in fact, defined singing and vocalism. Vocal record. Before Louis Armstrong, people didn't sing the way he sang. There was no such thing as improvisation or inflection. Everything was pretty rote. Louis Armstrong literally changed singing. That comes out of New Orleans. That's one of the greatest contributions. You might not think that's a big deal, but if you go back and listen to people, how people sang before New Orleans, before Louis Armstrong started singing, and he wasn't meant to sing. He wasn't supposed to sing. He was playing the first cornet and then the trumpet. And he said, wait a minute, this man is singing. And this is what singing sounds like. That's the difference that New Orleans and he made. Now, one other culture of New Orleans I enjoyed. So do you all still, do people still sing and play Zydeco music down there?
Come on, say Vash, yeah.
All right. I want to be sure.
So yes.
Let me tell you this. Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything about Zydeco music. But when I was living in D.C., WPFW, the Pacifica station in D.C., 89.3, every Friday at noon, played Zydeco music. So I started listening and saying, I love it. I said, oh, my God. So whenever I would take my kids to school on Friday, before they got out of the car, I'd have them sing a song to go into school. And they were singing at lunchtime to their teacher. And the song was, teacher, I got to go. Teacher, it's time for Zydeco. And they got in trouble in school and they were threatening to their kids just building fool and go listen to Zydeco music. gotta have some culture in here. What's wrong with y'all? So that was, it got a little dramatic, but we worked it out. I was able to get them re-enrolled. But that was my thing. Teacher, I got to go. Teacher's time for Zydeco. They remember that to this day. I love Zydeco. I just want to make sure y'all giving the Zydeco artists some money too.
We are.
And this is incredible. I had the privilege of interviewing Mary Wilson not long before she passed away. And I asked her a dumb question because I didn't know any better. I said, Mary, what was in the water in Detroit that all y'all came out of there with such talent and did so were successful? She said, Mark, we had music education in school. It was mandatory. I was like, duh. And that's all the difference in the world. So even what you're talking about in terms of the education, that's important. And folks, we want to support this. The Jazz and Heritage Festival, always a big deal in New Orleans. And folks, they're going to have everybody there. Samara Joy, I got to see her here at Jazz and Lincoln Center, one of my second homes here in New York. Incredible. She's going to be there. It's going to really be, and a lot of other big names, Earth, Wind, and Fire is going to be there. Queen Latifah is going to be there. The list goes on. Anderson Paak is going to be there. Bonnie Raitt.
I was just about to say.
Bonnie Raitt, yeah.
Foo Fighters, you mentioned Jean-Baptiste. Jean-Baptiste is going to be there. And what time did y'all say my flight is? What is
it? You got to get that third tip of one. See, Big Chief down the Timbuktu Warriors going to roll through the Jazz.
Awesome. Awesome.
Come on. Let's do this. Let's give out where people can find everybody, websites. First of all, Don, for the festival, where do people go to find the lineup and get involved?
That's www.nojazzfest.com. nojazzfest.com. All the information, the cubes, fun people performing, all kind of stuff. So definitely check it out.
My man, Terrence Blanchard, Wycliffe Gordon. Y'all gonna have some, y'all not playing down there. I can't wait to get my plane ticket, my flights that y'all gonna send me. Big Chief Dow, where can people find you?
It's better to find the New Orleans Culture and Tourism Fund, right?
That's
the New Orleans Culture and Tourism Fund is notcf.com. But you can find me at Big Chief Dow on the IG, Dow Edwards on Facebook, and you can find me just about anywhere. If you just Google Big Chief Dow, I'm all over. I think the party wherever we go.
That's good. And brother Kevin and Trepwise, where can people find you? Especially those of you who are listening, say, hey, I want this where I am, and I want this kind of initiative. Kevin, where can people find you?
That's great. If you're looking for strategic planning or systems coordination, if you're looking for work in the cultural economy, we're trepwise.com, TREPWISE.com.
Folks, we've been honored to have the executive director of New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival and Foundation, Don Marshall, from the Timbuktu Warriors, Mardi Gras Indians, and the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund, Big Chief Dow Edwards, and with Trepwise, Kevin Wilkins, the CEO. Congratulations to you all. This is a blessing. This is great work. Have a great Jazz and Heritage Festival weekend, and I do hope the weather holds. I know it'll be beautiful, so we're going to claim all of that. But this has really been touching and moving and so important, folks. We got to keep the culture alive. We need as many bright lights and as many things to celebrate as we possibly can. And we wouldn't have any of the music we have that we celebrate modern music we celebrate today without it all kicking off in New Orleans. So, yeah, we love that place. Thank you all.
Congo Square. Congo.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.